Hey folks, we're back again, and today in the studio I've got Zach from Webvio, and Webvio is a digital marketing business. They specialize in Webflow web development, which I'm interested to learn more about. Haven't used Webflow before, but heard a lot of things about it. And they also do paid social advertising. Zach has done work in various industries for startups, e-commerce stores, government entities, and local businesses. So a lot going on, all the way from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Zach, thanks for dropping by, mate. Good to have you on.
Hey, absolutely. Happy to be here.
So we're talking about, obviously, you can't meet someone from Green Bay and not talk about the Packers. So we got that formality out of the way before we came on air. But thanks for dropping by. So tell us about Webvio. How long have you been at this?
Yeah, so I started Webvio right during the middle of the pandemic. So a great time to get into e-commerce, web development. I got my start during the pandemic. I went to Fox Valley Technical College, a local tech school here in Wisconsin. I got a degree in digital marketing and sales, and I've kind of been off to the races ever since then. I was in sales for a while, but yeah, I've been at Webvio for a good year and a half now. It's been going well. You know, Chris said it all, so I'm in various industries, but I'm pretty much got my start through the e-commerce. So I use Webflow, and there was a major need for custom Shopify stores, because a lot of you are probably familiar with the Shopify platform. You can't really customize it that well. So what I would do is use the customability of Webflow to create custom Shopify themes and then move it back to the Shopify platform. So I got a lot of work in that space. So I've done a lot of work for e-commerce, and then just in my local area here, done a lot of paid advertising, Webflow work. So it's been going very well, and just very grateful for all the clients and all the adventures I've been on in the last year and a half.
Yeah. It's always interesting when people build businesses in. I mean, you talk about people with depressed times or times when the market's sort of collapsing, but that was a massive opportunity, and a lot of agencies did start to spring up where local, you know, brick and mortar businesses sort of switched to that bricks and clicks type model, right?
Where it was a necessity.
My customers can't come in store, but I still want to sell stuff. So what do I do?
Right.
And that need for building an online brand and building that business online, and particularly e-com, it was a really good time to get in and start to support your local community. So how did you go about that? Did you walk down the street and went, okay, these guys? Was it sort of identifying businesses? How did you go about that?
First clients were from Upwork. That was how I got my start. And then from there, it was referrals. And as I was going through, a lot of networking within my local community. So it's kind of weird, because with Upwork, as I'm sure you're familiar with, it could be anywhere from around the world. So at one point when I was first starting, it was so wild to me, because I was working with somebody in Spain on an e-commerce project. And I was working with, local businesses here in the Green Bay area. It's a little bit of, crazy for scheduling. And there was a language barrier at one point too. But it was just a cool experience and cool to work with other companies around the globe too. And Upwork's a great platform that helped me out a lot. I still use it. Still will send some proposals here and there.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I mean, it's the thing, right? You just got to get started. You never know really where that work's going to come from. So it's, I think at that start of a business, it's super important just to try a bit of everything, and then, okay, this is working. So let's do more of that.
Absolutely.
And time zones and stuff like that. You don't really figure out until you figure out, and you actually, that working with Spain on the other side of the world is a bit hard, and I don't want to be up at 3 a.m. sort of doing support calls. So it's good to sort of figure it out for yourself, right, and have the experience.
Exactly.
And, okay, now I know it works for me. And
That's another good thing about being in Green Bay too, is I'm on Central Time, so it's a perfect balance between West Coast and East Coast. If I do have, because I got working with someone in Florida right now, so it's not, it's manageable for sure.
Yeah, nice. Going back to Webflow, so that's super interesting you talk about, because we in our agency we also work quite a bit with Shopify. Okay. And they're that custom theming and ability to, you can purchase a bunch of themes with them, creating a really beautiful, unique Shopify theme can be quite difficult. And there's issues with SEO compatibility and that kind of thing, where it's one part where Shopify can not be great. But that so talk us through that Webflow piece, because that's not something that I've heard of before, where you're basically creating the skin or the theme mm-hmm. in Webflow, and then you're exporting that back across as a custom theme into Shopify.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to give Webflow a little background too, it's a visual coding platform. So in real time, in a digital, right on the browser there, in a software, you can code in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So you can build anything without code, which is very, very powerful. Mm. So then you export the code from that and upload it as a Shopify theme, because the Shopify platform only works with the themes unless you go into there. They use like liquid coding, I think it's called. It's liquid very code, very confusing.
Which is sort of a Ruby on Rails, right?
Right, right. And you know, for your average e-commerce owner, they're not going to know how to go in and customize something like that. So Webflow is a really good alternative. Okay. But we worked with the company Udesly, and essentially they have adapters where you can take any Webflow code and move it to any platform you want. So they work with Shopify, WordPress, all the major ones. So and it's a very cheap service. It was like $15 a month, and it makes it super easy. Then a couple clicks to convert a Webflow project to a Shopify project. And then you can still keep all the infrastructure of the actual Shopify e-commerce platform, which is pretty standard. You know, all e-commerce owners obviously want to use Shopify, which we totally get. So I would never try to convince clients to come over to the Webflow side and, you know, have a whole new platform and CMS infrastructure. Having that customization with Webflow and then using Shopify is the best of both worlds. So clients are very happy with it.
Yeah, well, and you use for a non-e-commerce store, you're still using Webflow as that CMS platform?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's super easy to use. And Webflow has a feature too, where you can actually just go in on the browser and edit content, words, and things. So clients like that feature as well. But yeah, I just think Webflow is kind of going to be the new standard for websites. I know you mentioned that you use WordPress a lot. There's just so much customization with Webflow. They piggyback off Amazon servers. So a lot of advantages, and it's been good. And Webflow has treated me very well. It's treated my clients very well. And great support team too. So nothing but good things to say about it.
I've heard about it, but haven't really explored it as a development platform, but it sounds like it's something that's really flexible and can get good things done. But having, particularly when you're considering the client experience, I think that that's something where we've built on horrendous platforms like Drupal and things like that, that are very much more enterprise, and they're horrendous from a customer-facing perspective. At least WordPress is relatively simple, and most people can kind of figure it out. But I do love a good theme, like an Elementor. I use OptimizePress quite a lot as well for personal projects, where it is that kind of WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. You edit on the screen. You can change stuff.
And there's
visually,
nothing,
move stuff around, the drag and drop.
Nothing wrong with those platforms. I mean, those will get the job done. I think where Webflow comes in is when you're looking to take it to the next level, do custom animations, and just create something, you know, really powerful to get away from that Wix editor, Squarespace. So when these local businesses are ready to upgrade, I always think Webflow is kind of the best platform. It's an easy transition between a lot of those just drag and drop builders.
Okay. Yeah, again, sort of Wix and Squarespace, interesting. You know, people build those, and again, they're quick and easy to kind of get going, but then they can be quite limited in functionality, features, customization, making it look really on brand and very unique. That can be the limitation with stuff like that. So how, in terms of that client conversation, did you find the clients that you're working with, are they already on Shopify and you're reskinning something, or is it more they just don't have e-commerce at all, and then your conversation is, well, let's set up Shopify and let's build it with her. We'll sort of skin it and we'll design it for you and get you set up on there as a preferred platform.
Yeah, a little bit of both. So they do have some e-commerce knowledge. Again, they'll come to me with Shopify knowledge, and you know, I'll convince them on doing a complete custom Webflow build. Or, you know, they're happy to stay on the Shopify platform, and I'll just help them out with a regular Shopify theme that converts well for them, and they're happy with that. So a little bit of both, but I always try to, you know, tell clients the value of being in control of your brand and making it custom with Webflow. It just sets you apart, because I know that there's only a handful of free Shopify themes out there, and when they get overused and things, sometimes it's always better to, you know, invest that extra money in making a custom e-commerce platform. And That way you can do what you want with it too as you move forward and as your business grows.
Mm-hmm. Now that sort of leads into another service that I know you offers, which is Crow, that conversion rate optimization, right? So having control of that theme and having control of the design aspects, very, very important too.
Absolutely.
Making sure that everything's in the right place and that you can start to, you know, A/B test and split test various button colors and positioning and headlines and having control and something that's very easily editable.
I nerd out about that stuff. That stuff is so, so interesting to me. And the split testing and how can we make more money. And I'm a nerd about that stuff. I love it.
So let's get nerdy. Let's get into Crow because it is fascinating. It's that thing where if you're sending all this traffic to a website, people often think, oh, well, I want to make more money. I want more leads. So I'll pay more for ads, or I'll send a different, I'm doing Google, but now I just start sending traffic from Facebook, and they think about the traffic sources. But if all that traffic's coming to a broken website, it's not really going to make a difference, right? You can keep the same amount of traffic, increase your conversion rate from 8% to 12%, and suddenly you're making a whole lot more sales a month without having spent more money. So that Crow piece is super, super important. Let's get nerdy on it. Let's get geeky. Go. What are some of the things that you find, if you had to give a top few suggestions of the stuff that actually works in Crow? So I know everyone talks about, the classic is the button color, right? Change the button color and that's going to increase your conversion rate. That may or may not be true, but what are some of the real things that you found actually make differences to conversion rate?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one thing is always social proof. So I had a client in California, it was just two sisters. They had a small hat company where they would make youth trucker hats for kids anywhere age like 5 to 12. And the number one thing we did to increase their conversion was just that social proof. So they would create content on their Instagram with their friends and family in their hats, and actually putting that on the product page to establish that trust helped significantly. I also just think keeping it clean and simple for e-commerce is one of the best things that you can do, not overwhelming the consumer with too much. To increase conversion, I always like upsell. So if, you're running Facebook ads and profit margin's only $20, how can we increase that to make the ads even more possible? So upsells, downsells, implementing that funnel, but just keeping the design and the aesthetics of it very simple and clean, and then adding a little bit of social proof on top of that, that's the formula. That's what we've seen.
Get that, the more you can bump that order value up, right? If suddenly every 10 out of 20 people are suddenly buying a couple of dollars more, or they're buying two units, that adds up to a lot of money over time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool stuff. So again, social proof, what if someone doesn't have social proof, how would you go about that? So they don't have reviews, or they haven't been featured in, I know, Time Magazine or Inc. How do you go about, is that reviews? Is that, what do you find something works better than something else? Is it that user generated content, that reviews, that personal aspect?
I think all the above. And if you're just starting out too, even just getting your friends and family involved, as long as you're confident in the product and you're providing value, I think there's nothing wrong with reaching out to friends and family to get those initial reviews and get the ball rolling. But Shopify and all these platforms make it very easy to plug in systems to help you get reviews too. And I know there's applications out there like Podium and a handful of others where you can, digitally input in your business and help you get more good PR, more good reviews. So,
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And again, that you talk about that simplification, and it's really important to not forget about the customer experience, right? It's all about someone's going to hit this website and they want to do something. And most of the time they want to do it really quickly and in the least amount of steps possible. So, as humans and as designers, we can definitely it's easier to overcomplicate things, right? And make things have flashy whiz bang stuff going on everywhere. Yeah. But a lot of the time that's distraction from, I just want to go click and check out and get my product and move on with my life.
Right. Absolutely. And you hit a spot on, I have to, reel clients back in sometimes when they get a little too crazy, but it's always better in design just to keep it simple, especially for e-commerce. Yeah.
And I mean, obviously this is going to change with the different clients and different types of sites, but what sort of increases in conversion rate do you tend to see from something like adding social proof, getting that user journey right? Is it a couple percent? Is it like 10, 20%?
No, we've seen just a couple percentage increase. And again, I work with smaller businesses, smaller e-commerce shops, so it's nothing too crazy. But I mean, if you put the numbers into perspective, if you're at an industry standard of 2% conversion rate and you can get that up to 3%, I mean, that's a job well done in my book, and e-commerce store owners are happy. So
yeah, it only takes a percent here or there. An improvement over time, right?
Right.
And it takes a percentage here and there, and then you fine tune your traffic. Then you can start to send, now that the site's functioning better, send more traffic to it, and more of that traffic's going to convert, and your client ends up making more money.
Yeah.
So, and you got to, small adjustments can have a big impact over a year, right?
Oh, definitely.
And do you focus much on, so talk about that traffic piece? Do you focus much on that traffic piece? Are you are you driving traffic from social, or are you more focused on social content, or really just the website kind of crow platform piece?
A little bit of everything. So our specialty is mostly in the web development and the paid advertising, which they both play off each other very well, because we can set up their analytics and, you know, see what we're looking at. And then that CRO aspect of it too, it all kind of comes together like a well-oiled machine there. So our specialty is Instagram and Facebook ads. That's what I've been doing the longest. Recently been experimenting a little bit with TikTok advertising too with clients, which is kind of fun to play around with. I know it's kind of a new exciting platform. Yeah. I mean, with those social ads coming in, depending on how much they're spending, to go back to your earlier point, that CRO and that extra percentage can make a huge impact when you're spending a few thousand on social ads each month.
Yeah, exactly. Get more users in and convert more of them. It's pretty basic maths. That's going to increase your sales and build a bigger business for clients. So how many clients you sort of work with at the moment? Do you think going forward, you're still going to be focused on sort of local e-commerce? Are you looking expanding sort of nationally across the states, international? What's that
look like for you? Yeah, I mean, right now, like I said, I've only been at it for a year and a half. So I'm always looking to grow, always looking for new business. I do like e-commerce work, but I think over the last 6 months, it's been more of the local businesses, individuals. Like I said, I'm working with somebody in Florida who's she's a high-level philanthropist, so she's rolling out courses and conferences. So I really like that one-on-one individual feel too, as I kind of narrow down the niche I'm targeting. Had a lot of fun in the e-commerce space, and definitely still looking to take on more work there. But I think, you know, moving forward, I kind of want to narrow my niche and my target audience down to coaches, consultants, that one-on-one mission-based brands, things like that. I just think it's a little bit more fulfilling than in just a regular e-commerce store who's just trying to make a quick buck. You know, I've had a lot of those. Like I said, I'm still young, so any business is great. But definitely something to look forward to as I keep growing.
Yeah. I mean, niching's a term that gets thrown around a lot in the agency space, but it is that important thing. It makes you an expert in a specific thing, and someone looking for that specific thing goes, okay, this guy's an expert.
Right.
I'm just a general website builder. You're a website builder for content creators. I'm a content creator. I need a website. Now that math is much easier. And it's definitely a good space. I see a lot of agencies sort of moving into that. Mm-hmm. And again, similar time that sort of the pandemic, a lot of agencies started dealing with e-commerce more. A lot of coaches and consultants, that industry boomed over that last couple of years as well. So it's definitely a growing market. Course creators, content creators, coaching consulting space.
I love to get it to that niche for sure. Exactly right. I mean, tons of them are popping up, and a lot of them have great value to provide. And you know, if my services and expertise can help them grow their impact and their mission, that'd be kind of the dream agency that I want to build, I think.
Nice. And as a coach consultant myself, I know there's a lot of us aren't tech savvy. So having someone that can do the tech stuff and take that headache away and do the marketing aspect, that can be a piece where coaches, consultants can sort of fall down. They want to be of service, right? And they want to do the coaching and they want to help the people, but the tech stuff, the tech stack, is not experience they've had. So having someone fulfill that and manage that can definitely be a massive piece for that.
Especially I've seen with the older ones too, and the local ones, could definitely use help with website and just, you know, setting up booking systems and, and a bit of Facebook ads, especially for the, you know, local, just the local life coach or, you know, whoever it may be. So we're really looking to set up systems to reach out and help those people for sure moving forward.
Amazing, man. Sounds like a great plan. Best of luck with it. If you are a coaching consultant and you happen to be in Wisconsin and you're watching the show, where's the best place for people to come and find out more about you? Is that can get connected?
Absolutely. My website. So webvio.io, that's webvio.io. And my email is right there. You can schedule a strategy call with me. Connect with me on my socials.
Fantastic. And as always, I'll drop those links in the show notes so the people at home can click on that and come and meet you and get connected and book a call to talk about Webflow and Shopify and getting their e-commerce systems all set up and running. Thanks so much, Zach. Super interesting. So it was interesting to hear more about Webflow. Not something that I've got experience in, but I'm very, very interested to go and check out more about it now. I like that Shopify Webflow kind of customization piece. That was super interesting to learn about.
So, thanks for having me on, Chris. Appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thanks for sharing and thanks for being here. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. And until next time, we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers.